Welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. This is our Sunday school lesson series on the book of Isaiah. Today is class number 12, and we'll be covering chapters 58 through 63. So we have a lot to cover in a short period of time. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. And I'd like to share with you a few things that I have learned from the book of Isaiah, studying these chapters. One of them is that Isaiah's prophecies were fulfilled by the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, we can look forward to being with God for eternity. And that is great news. As a matter of fact, I found out a couple of days ago, a brother who I knew from back in the 90s, when we had the Metro Region, was one of the singers, and he passed away this past week. And my thoughts and prayers go to his family. But he fought the good fight. And now he will enjoy eternity with God. And this is something that we can look forward to as well. So I broke into three segments to make it a little bit easier since we're covering six chapters this morning. The first one is communion. The second one is Redeemer. And the third one is best news ever. So let's go ahead and start with a prayer. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you because you want to have a relationship with us. I pray that we will be people on earth that will want to have a relationship with you and to show you that we love you as well. God, thank you so much because we are sinners and we need a redeemer. We need a savior. And you sent Jesus to help us with that. God, the best news that we have today is that salvation comes through the life of Jesus, through the cross, through the resurrection. And because of that, we rejoice. Help us not to let the worries of life to take away the smile on our faces, because we know that our names are written in the book of life. I pray for Curtis and his family. You will help them during this time. And so I encourage you to know that he fought the good fight and that he will be with you for eternity. And that's what we look forward to as well. So please protect us, guide us, strengthen us so that we can do your will here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's start in Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 9. God says, "Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" As it was in the time of Jesus, here in chapter 58, Isaiah is also teaching us that God wants us, wants more than just religious rituals, but he wants a relationship with us that comes from the heart. I looked up the definition of communion, and it says, the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. My wife, Michelle, we've been married for 20 years. And actually, she was my first date after I became a disciple. I fell in love right off the bat. But the feelings was a one-way direction. It was from me to her, but not from her to me. Then I put together some special dates. I think that helped. But what really helped was prayer and making sure that I was close to God. And I remember on a date, I took her on a date to Six Flags, and I went with this couple. They were dating, boyfriend and girlfriend, Derek Lynn, who studied the Bible with me. He came to me and said, I want to share something with you. My girlfriend just told me that Michelle likes you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. 9 months after. So at that point, we started exchanging thoughts and feelings. And God is saying here, here am I. I want to have an intimate relationship with you in exchange thoughts and feelings. The question for us today is, are we ready to have this type of relationship with God? We can even ask, do we even care to have this type of relationship with God? To exchange feelings and thoughts with God. If we do care, we're going to show with our actions. And sometimes we can be tempted to want the blessings from God, but we're not willing to make the commitment to God. And God is saying here, here am I. I want to have a deep relationship with you. And for those who already have a relationship with you, with God, we know that in order for any relationship to grow, it needs to be nurtured. So are you ready to exchange thoughts and feelings with God? In Isaiah 61, the Bible says, you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. And we know that under the old covenant, God ordained the priests to stand between God and his people. They would bring God's word to the people, and they would bring people's sin to God. But under the new covenant, all Christians are considered priests of the Lord. Therefore, we can have a direct relationship with our Creator and also a direct communication with God, as well as ministering to others. I don't know if you've seen this movie. We Were Soldiers. And there is a specific role, which is the radio operator. He's in charge to making sure that the troop is communicating with one another. They were landing on a place that had never been before. They didn't even know the number of enemies they're going to face. They had to split. Some stayed central, some went north, but they had to have effective communication. In this case, for some of them, communication was a matter of life and death. And at some point during the movie, they did lose communication with one another. And spiritually speaking, we are in a spiritual battle. And we do need effective communication if we want to survive in this battle. So what are some common communication tools that we use today? It's a question, so you can answer. Common communication tools that we use today. My younger generation. Cell phones. Texting. Emails. What else? Yeah, I was talking to a teenager years ago, and he told me that he would send close to 4,000 texts in a month. I was like, is that possible? It's like, really? I was like, that was mind-blowing. Back then is when I had AT&T, and you had to pay for every text. So I stayed away don't tax me. Now it's included, so I'm getting more into it. But this is my mom, and I'm from Brazil originally. She lives in Brazil, and I typically call her once a week. We'd be on the phone for about at least an hour. She would talk for 55 minutes. I would talk for 5 minutes, and those 5 minutes was about Michelle and my son. She did not even ask how I was doing. How is G doing? How is Michelle? It's like, what about me? So if I went by 10 days without calling her, she would put me on the guilt trip saying, I could have died yesterday and you would not have known. So I decided to send her a smartphone with the video capability. So she got it about a month ago. She was happy about it. She said, there are too many buttons. I said, don't worry, mom. You just need to learn a few. And we started texting each other. And this is a video that we did yesterday. And she's getting the hang of it. And she said to me, I'm very happy that now I can communicate with you daily and see your face. And she was having tears in her eyes. Now I can communicate with you daily. I can see your face. As a matter of fact, I text her every day now. And she said, I shared that with my coworkers, and I'm so encouraged because I really like when you send me texts every day. So it went from once a week to now daily. So I put myself out there. Now I got to keep up with it. So it's noon. I was like, oh boy, I haven't sent my mom a text yet. But it's so encouraging to see this relationship and this communication that she will send me emojis, a heart. I will send her a red heart, a red rose. And she's like, she's so excited about this communication. And when I think about that, I think about our communication with God. A consistent communication on a daily basis, not because we have to, but it's because it's in our hearts. And obviously one day we look forward to seeing God in heaven. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. Some spiritual communication tools that we have today, the scriptures, prayer, and fellowship in the body, and the one another relationship. As we have these tech tools to communicate via email and text, these are the spiritual communication tools that we have today. Are we using them? Are we communicating with God on a daily basis? And I was like, it's so exciting with my mom now every day. I want to use these spiritual tools to make my relationship with God exciting as well. Are we communicating with one another and take initiative? Sometimes we're waiting for brothers and sisters to contact us. How about us reaching out to them? A few days ago, I was trying to find a brother in the fellowship. I couldn't find him. I texted him, said, bro, how are you doing? He said, can you call me? I called. We were on the phone for several minutes. We just sharing with him what's going on with his life. So I was reaching out to him. And then a couple of days after that, a brother who I studied the Bible in 1995, who now lives in Macon, he called me out of the blue and said, Galileo, what's going on? Communicating with one another. This is another spiritual tool. Talking about communication, these are some godly principles in communication that I've been studying out lately. Mostly has to do with how am I communicating with my wife, with my son, with my relatives, with my brothers and sisters. And here in Matthew 7 says, do to others what you have them do to you. And for some time, I was struggling off and on with not being patient with my son. And then Michelle, she's very sweet and loving. But when she sees something wrong, she calls it out. And she came to me and addressed, "Gee, would you like someone to speak to you the way you're speaking to our son?" And that made me meditate and reflect on this passage. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. So do we listen to our spouses when they address a character issue that is not like Jesus or that's not according to the scriptures? And I'm so grateful that Michelle has been addressing them to me. That you need to be more patient. I think you're right, but the way you come across is not godly. It does not please God. And I'm so glad that she's addressing that so that I can see my sin, go to God, and repent. I think about Nathan and David. When Nathan went to David and said, "Hey, you committed sin against God." So how do you react when our spouses come and talk to us? Or when other brothers and sisters come and try to address something in our character that are not according to the scriptures? Are we humble to listen? Or are we defensive? And that has helped me so much. In 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect." And this is talking about the husband and wife relationship. But I brought that into my relationship with my son. And I was like, am I treating my son with respect? So how are we communicating from one another to one another? How are you communicating with your brothers and sisters? Do you say the things that you like to be said to you? Or do you say things that you will not like people to say to you? Let us be more mindful of these principles that God has given us. In Isaiah 59, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you. For our offenses are many in your sight. Rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God." Separation is a word that is very alive in my life. Like I said, I'm from Brazil and I came in the 90s as an international student. And I had to leave my parents and my family and friends behind. That was hard to separate. And after several years, we finished college. Me and Michelle, we decided to move to Brazil to work for the church there. And she was separated from her family. And then after 6 years in Brazil, we decided to move back to the U.S. There it goes again, sitting down with my parents saying, "We're moving." The separation hurts. And here Isaiah is showing us what sin does to our relationship with God. Sin offends our holy God and separates us from Him. Is this how we look at sin? In Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." So God calls us to be children of the light. He doesn't want perfection, but He wants us to seek to know what pleases Him and to do His will on earth. So separation hurts in our relationship with one another when we're not close. Separation, the sin also separates us from God and hurts our relationship with Him. So let us be mindful of that, being willing to live a life of righteousness so that we're no longer separated from God. I don't know how you feel reading these passages, but when I did, that's my conclusion. We need a Redeemer. I need a Savior to break down that wall of sin that I built. And here in Isaiah 59, the Bible says, He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So His arm achieved salvation for Him, and His own righteousness sustained Him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. And just like God said that He will rescue His people from the hands of their enemies, despite of our sins, God also says, I will rescue from your sins. And that is possible because of the cross. And because of the cross, we go from can't to can. Because of the cross. And because we decide to take up our cross daily and die to our sinful nature, we go from can't to can. That we can overcome the temptations in our lives. And Jesus came to redeem us and to be our Savior. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves who we are and who Jesus is. To put myself as the sinner and understand that I need a Savior. But am I acting like I actually need a Savior or not? And third and last point, best news ever. Speak up about Jesus. In Isaiah 61, the Bible says, The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The oil of joy instead of mourning. Amen. And the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And actually, Jesus quoted this passage when He was in the synagogue teaching. And at the end, He says, Today, this scripture is fulfilled. And like we saw before, that as Christians, we are to minister God's word to other people. You don't have to be an ordained priest to do that. It's being a disciple of Jesus. I remember Derek Lynn, Burrell Pope. They ministered God's word to me. And the calling is for us to do with others. The work in the Lord is not in vain. You just keep planting the seeds and God will make it grow. I remember I have two older brothers. I'm the little brother. And when I became a disciple and moved to Brazil to be in the full-time ministry, they were pretty upset, including my mom and my dad. They could not understand what I was doing. And then last year, I was having a conversation with my brother, my middle brother, 24 years later. And he told me, now I understand what you're doing. You are seeking God. Now he's studying the Bible. He's reading the Bible. He's going to another church there, but he's getting to the Word. And I'm the little brother. Typically, they don't listen to the little brother. Even my oldest brother, he got married in Brazil. He got married in court. And then you have this religious ceremony. And he did one. My oldest brother, he had a small gathering of friends and family at his house. And he asked me, to perform the religious ceremony. I'm the little brother. You don't listen to the little brother typically. But I kept sharing my faith with them. And I was like, what am I going to share? I just read 1 Corinthians 13, talked about love and shared about my marriage with Michelle and what God has done with our lives because we decided to do God's will. It's not about us, but if we plant the seeds, God will make it grow. I think about the courage of our brothers and sisters in the book of Acts. And they were told several times not to speak about Jesus and salvation. In verse 20, he says, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. To tell people about God's salvation and what God has done in our lives. I want to encourage us to understand that we're part of a worldwide movement. I know that we want to save Gwinnett and share our faith in Gwinnett, but it goes beyond that. It's amazing if you get the opportunity to go to other countries and see that God's word is being preached and be applied in different cultures, in different languages. That is so encouraging. I remember last year coming from a conference in Miami. We wanted to stop by Jacksonville, Florida to spend the night there. We didn't know anybody, so we've got these five Latinos coming from the conference. We called the elders there. We arrived at their house at 11 p.m. They had never seen us. And they're receiving five Latinos. That doesn't happen often. In God's kingdom. And that is so encouraging. And to finalize, I want to encourage us to consider that our offering that we give to the local church here in Gwinnett, our offerings that we give to the international churches, in this case in Africa, that we can pray for God to give us the means, but also the hearts to share our blessings. I cannot help but speak of the new generation that's coming up. The first batch of leaders, they're aging. And we need new blood. And it is so encouraging to hear about David Collier going in the full-time ministry. I was talking to Jennifer about Noah Hood going into the ministry. It doesn't mean that they're better, by no means. But we're going to need a new generation rising up to serve God's church. Let us speak up about the salvation that comes through Jesus so that other people can have the same opportunity that God has given us. And to conclude today's lesson, one of the main themes in the book of Isaiah is that he wants us to think and to celebrate the promise of eternity with God. And today we specifically study about having communion with God, exchanging, have an exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings with God. A consistent communication. We also thought about having a Redeemer. We need a Savior. And that is Jesus Christ. And the best news ever is the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and that God has called us to share with other people. Let's draw near to God on a daily basis. Continue on our journey from the heart as we await for the crown in heaven. So this concludes the lesson this morning. Thank you for your attention, and please go pick up your kids.